being outclimbed by a lot of my peers, that can be really hard. And I definitely can like start to dig myself into a hole a little bit. I got that email while I was in Whole Foods, and I just was like running around the grocery store and just like kind of jumping up and down to myself, like World Cup, World Cup, World Cup. The types of moves that really get me psyched aren't things that you find outside so much.
Welcome to another episode of the That's Not Real Coming podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm excited to introduce my guest, Chloe Koskoy. Chloe is a French-American boulder who has competed for Team USA in the international youth and elite circuit. In this episode, we'll learn about how she accidentally ended up competing in lead World Cups, the difficulties of trying to make it onto a highly competitive U.S. team, and we give some love to good old gym climbing and plastic pulling. Hope you enjoy this episode with Chloe. Cool. Yeah, how are things going?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm
doing any like training today?
Yeah, I trained at the training center this morning. I'm kind of starting my taper for team trials right now. So 2 days of rest over the weekend and like a light session today. I'll rest tomorrow.
Yeah, what does tapering look like for you? It starts like a few weeks beforehand?
Yeah, so it's kind of been different like throughout my climbing career, and I think I've got it a lot more figured out now than I used to, but I'll usually like train pretty hard for at least 3 or 4 months leading into an event, and then that's kind of usually phased out a little bit, but the last week and a half or so I'll decrease my volume a ton. So like recently I had been climbing like 5-ish days a week, and a lot of those are double sessions. And right now I'm doing just one day on, one day off, and really short, like 2-hour sessions for the next week and a half. So big decrease in volume.
Is it like you're tapering strength training?
Just even time spent on the wall. I think in general, like the climbing itself is almost like strength training, and that like the more I do it, I get pretty tired for sure, especially when it's like a lot of steep climbing, a lot of powerful climbing. So it's just so that like when I go to compete, I feel really rested and strong. I can't be like, oh, I'm tired from this workout or whatever it was. So.
Yeah. What do you have to, I guess, do at national team trials to make the team?
It's hard to know. So the way it works is we have 40% of our points are based off our result at nationals, and 60% of our points are based off our result at team trials. And so I did not great at nationals. I was 10th. Ideally, I would have liked to be in the top 5, but the way it works, like if certain people who did well at nationals don't do as well as at team trials, and I do well at team trials, then I might move up the ranking quite a bit, or, you know, it can also go kind of the other way around. If people who did worse than me do really well at team trials, then they'll get more points. So it's really, really hard to know. I think ideally to make the World Cup circuit, I would like to be first or second, which will be pretty hard, but I'll do my best for that. At the very least, I would really like to qualify for the World Cup in Salt Lake. So in that case, I think if I make finals at team trials, I have a good chance to be set for that. But it's really hard to know beforehand. We won't really know until the points get calculated and the list comes out.
Ooh, kind of stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I don't actually know like the inner workings of the point system and like how you get selected for, I guess it's the World Cup circuit versus just the Salt Lake World Cup. Why is there a difference between the two? Is it just like based on affordability?
No, it's since the Salt Lake World Cup, we're the host country. We have a larger quota, so we're allowed more athletes there. I'm not sure exactly how many. I believe last year we were allowed 10 athletes, whereas a normal World Cup last year we were allowed 5. And this year, those numbers will change a little bit. It's just kind of based on how the team performed the year before, and that kind of determines your quota, but it'll be in that range. So we get a lot more people for Salt Lake than we do for any other international World Cups.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, good luck at team trials.
Thank you.
Coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so I'm leaving next Tuesday, so a week from today, and competing on Thursday.
Okay, exciting. Well, I think by the time this podcast comes out, it will be done and over with. So hopefully it'll be good news. But yeah, good luck. I'll watch and be rooting for you.
Thank you.
So for people who don't know, how did you get into climbing and competing in general?
Yeah, so when I was probably maybe 10 or 11, this gym called Bridges Rock Gym opened up near my house in El Cerrito. And I went, I had been to a climbing gym before a couple times when I was much younger for birthday parties and things. And I went to one at Bridges, and then my family kind of was excited about it and decided that we should all sign up for membership. So it was like kind of this thing that we could all do together. So they picked up they got us a family membership, and we all started going there, and I really quickly like took a liking to it and joined the competitive team. So I was on the youth competitive team there for quite a while, like until I aged out of youth comp climbing.
How long after starting climbing did you start competing?
I started competing. It's actually kind of a funny story. I should have been in youth B, so like 14 years old, for my first USA climbing competition. But like a week before regionals, I broke my big toe and I wasn't able to wear a climbing shoe for like 6 months and had to get a screw in my foot. So I didn't start comp climbing really until I was in youth A, so about 15.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty late actually, I think.
I had done a few local competitions prior to that, but I'd say like the USA climbing competitions are when I started to get a little more serious about comp climbing. That was like 15, 16.
And yeah, how did you break your big toe? Because that was also like an injury Yanya recently had, right? And I'm just like, how does that happen? It's so
mine
niche.
Was pretty unique. I was actually campus boarding, and there was a foam roller underneath me. And for whatever reason, I didn't think to move it, and I fell on it and like rolled back and just kicked the wall, and broke my toe. Had to be in a boot for a while.
Jeez. Okay. Another concern to keep in mind while campus boarding, I guess.
Yeah. I did a lot of hangboarding, a lot of campusing, some 1 foot climbing.
Yeah. I mean, people always say that injuries sometimes allow you to get stronger in other ways. So I guess that worked out for you.
For sure. I mean, I was pretty young. I don't think it made a huge difference, but.
Well, you never know. But also, you started climbing kind of late compared to other people on the circuit. I feel like a lot of people say they started when they were like six or something, which is a little bit crazy. But yeah, I think for like a professional climber, you started a little bit later than everyone else. Do you feel like you missed out starting a bit later? Or do you think younger kids are kind of just messing around anyway because they don't really take anything serious?
I think one thing that has benefited me a lot is just having done a lot of sports growing up before I started climbing. Like I used to run kind of cross country and track in middle school. I was on the swim team for like 3 years. I took tennis lessons growing up, and I was always like playing basketball and soccer, and I went to skate camp when I was younger. So I kind of got to do a lot of different sports, and although I didn't really stick to any for more than a few years, I think it really helped develop my climbing style. It made me a lot more like dynamic and athletic in my climbing movements, and like a little bit more powerful in general. And I think it probably helped me with my coordination as well. And so when I first started climbing, or when I first started getting into comp climbing, I definitely had some regrets, and I was like, always thinking, oh, I wish I had started younger because everyone around me started younger. And I feel like I'm just trying to catch up to them all the time. And they have so many years on me. But I think at this point, looking back, I think that the way I grew up and my relationship to sport, like, definitely formed and affected how I approach climbing. And so I wouldn't really change that, I don't think.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think we'll get into the other sports you've done later on, because I was, had some other questions about that. But I also, during my research, saw that you're a French citizen. So do you go there much to train?
Yeah, I go there quite a bit to train. My parents are both French. They came to the States in 98, I think. So they've been in the U.S. since a little before I was born. But we always spoke French at home, and I spent a lot of summers going there to visit family. So I just like being in France. I like hearing people speak French and everything. So when I started climbing, I definitely sought out gyms there when we would go for the summers. And I guess as I got way more into comp climbing, I started to realize how good of a place it was for training. And the French team is obviously super strong, and they have a very specific, strengths in climbing. So it's been pretty awesome to be able to train there and kind of get to know everyone and have that little kind of extra tie to them. I feel like it's a lot easier to get to know them when I can speak French as well. So that's been really nice.
So when I think of French climbing, I think a lot of slab and people who are really great on slab competition boulders as well. When you go there and climb and train for a little bit, do you feel the difference there in terms of their slab setting?
Definitely. I'd say just in general, their level of slab climbing is really good. And in a lot of gyms, a lot of the slabs that you'll have there are harder and more technical, or they'll at least have more of them than you would find in a lot of U.S. gyms. And honestly, in a lot of countries that I've trained in, I think the French have definitely the most slabs and the most hard slabs, which is really, really good for training. So that's always really, really good to practice there. And I always come back from trips there feeling like I've kind of improved at that a little bit. So that's always nice.
Yeah. Do you have a preference towards slab at all? I know we, I met you because you were doing a slab clinic and I'm terrible at slab. So is that one of your strong suits, you think?
Yeah, I'd say now slab is definitely one of the styles that I'm more comfortable on. I think I'm quite good at trusting my feet and willing to be pretty uncomfortable and kind of just trust the positions and see how they work. And I think that makes for good slab climbing. But when I grew up, growing up, I was really, really bad at slab, quite bad. I mean, the gym that I grew up in really didn't have any slab walls at the time, and none of the gyms in the Bay Area, at least when I was younger, really had any actual slabs. And so the only time I would practice them was when we would do youth training camps at Mesa Rim in San Diego. And I think going there and having really, really dedicated time on slabs and breaking down everything from I couldn't even stand on a volume when I first went there to then doing coordination and really breaking down everything that we could figure out about slab climbing made me a lot better. But I think definitely in the past 3-4 years, spending a lot of time in the training center and a lot of time just falling and slipping and banging my shins, I got a lot better at slab climbing. But it took quite a bit of just dedicated time to that style. And now I'd say I like it a lot and I'm quite confident in my slab climbing, but it took quite a long time to get there for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear the Mesa Rim in San Diego helped out, because that's where I am right now. So hopefully I'll make some strides there as well. Did you ever go to I always forget what it's called. It's not called the training center, but
the Academy.
The Mesa Rim. The Academy, yeah.
Did you? Yeah, that's where all of our youth training camps were, at the Academy, and it was maybe 1 week a year or 2 weeks a year. And for about like 3-4 years there, I did that with a lot of friends from the youth circuit. And we did so much slab climbing.
Okay. I'm excited to make some progress there then. But yeah, in a lot of commercial gyms, there's not much slab. Maybe like, I mean, there's always like a vertical wall, but in terms of slab, there's not much there. Do you have a favorite US gym other than, I guess, like the training center?
Yeah, I think at least for slab climbing, I really like the Bouldering Project gyms. I climb primarily at the Bouldering Project in Salt Lake City when I'm just like doing gym slab climbs, and they're usually pretty good. And like the level is decent. What I find a lot of the time is that a lot of gyms, even if they do have a slab wall, their boulders are just not super hard. And I think it's like a lot of people don't practice the kind of comp slab style. So it's pretty hard to find the limit of what's doable. And I imagine it's pretty hard to set as well.
Yeah. The climbs at Bouldering Project just like really scare me. It's like not my style at all, but would love to check it out again sometime. But yeah, going into your competition history, I was taking a look at your IFSC history, and it looks like you did a lot more lead competitions initially. Do you prefer to boulder now?
So that was in 2021, the year after we kind of all got shut down for COVID. We had our first team trials, and I had spent probably about 3/4 of my time and energy training boulders and the rest training lead. And I did really well in the qualification there. And then in the semifinals, I like fully got in my head and had a really bad round. So I think I ended that comp between 10th and 20th for boulders. And then in lead, I like, it was after boulders and I kind of had no expectations. I knew I was better at bouldering and just kind of had an okay qualifier, made semis. And then the semis route was a really slabby kind of vert route, like very technical. And I climbed really well in that, on that route, made finals, which to me was like pretty surprising. I was not expecting to do well in lead at team trials. And that qualified me for some of the lead World Cups for that year. So those were my first World Cups ever. My first one being Villars. So I kind of like was scrambling after the team trials. I was like scrambling to lead climb more and train more lead, because I really wasn't expecting that. It was kind of, everyone was doing boulders and lead, and I figured, okay, I'll like train lead too. And then all of a sudden I was going to do international lead comps. So I was training lead a lot, and the first lead World Cup went really well. I think I had no expectations. Kind of similarly, I was like, oh, you know, I'm like, lead is pretty new to me. I have no idea what my level is. And ended up making the semi for that. And then every lead World Cup after that, I've really struggled to kind of find my stride. I think a lot of it was getting in my head from the first World Cup that I did, where, you know, I didn't really have any expectations and just made the semi. And then I could hardly get like more than a few draws up the wall at the next ones. So that was kind of a weird thing for me, and I definitely kept training lead because I was qualified for lead comps, but I've always been more interested in bouldering and I prefer boulder comps. So when the next team trials came around and the team trials after that came around, I did like kind of perform well in boulders, which I was really excited about. I think getting to do boulder World Cups was always like my dream and what I wanted to do. And lead, I think, is really cool, and I really, really admire strong lead climbers. But for me, it's been like so challenging to see any type of translation between my training and how I compete in lead, and it's just not something that has like been super exciting to me. It's more stressful than anything. Like lead comps, I get really nervous, really stressed, and I usually kind of make mistakes, and bouldering, I feel like I'm able to express myself a lot more. So being able to do Boulder World Cups has been like really, really great and super exciting. And going forward, I maybe in the future, I'll look to be selected for some lead World Cups again, but I'm definitely focused on boulders now.
Okay. So like for the upcoming team trials, are you only doing boulder? I don't know if that's like an option.
So last year, because of the Olympics, we had to do bouldering and lead. And so I did boulder lead. And so this past season, I was qualified for the combined team. So I could do essentially any of the bouldering and any of the lead World Cups that I wanted. So I did all the Boulder World Cups and some of the lead World Cups. And then at World Champs, I only did bouldering. This year we have, it's separate again, so we're able to do just bouldering or lead. So I only did bouldering at Nationals, and I'll only do bouldering at team trials.
Wow, it's so interesting that you only qualified for lead the first year and then just ended up going to international competitions for it. I feel like that's like signing up for a job that you're not qualified for, and then you're like suddenly scrambling to figure things out. That's a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't actually even officially on the lead team. I must have been maybe seventh or eighth on our list, and they were taking maybe five to the World Cups. But because it was the year of the Tokyo Olympics, a lot of people who were selected for the Olympics didn't do all of the lead comps leading up to the Olympics, so it passed down to me. So it wasn't even after team trials. It was like a month or maybe even 3 weeks before the first lead World Cup in Villars that I got kind of an email that was like, hey, you're like, it's the invites have been passed down, so you're qualified for Villars if you want to do it. And I was like, oh goodness, like I haven't trained lead at all, because I mean kind of been doing boulder lead but didn't really know what I was training for. And then all of a sudden I had 3 weeks to train lead and then hop on a flight to Switzerland. And that comp went really well. It was awesome. But after that, I was just, I think, way a little bit in over my head and definitely struggled to perform.
Wow. Yeah, that's stressful. I mean, even booking a flight 3 weeks out for an international trip is stressful by itself.
Yeah, definitely. But at that point, I was more just, I mean, I had been wanting to do a World Cup for so long, and we had just watched the Salt Lake Bouldering World Cup, which I hadn't qualified for because this was after the 21 team trials. And I just, like, the only thing I wanted was to compete in World Cup. So just, like, even I remember I got that email while I was in Whole Foods, and I just was, like, running around the grocery store and just, like, kind of jumping up and down to myself, like,
oh, yeah.
World Cup, World Cup, World Cup. Like, this is crazy. And yeah, now it's crazy to think how many I've been able to do. But
yeah, that's awesome. So it's kind of like the excitement and just like the newness of it all gave you that energy to get into semis for that first time.
Yeah, in the first in Villars, we had a one of our first routes was just like not super hard, and then there was a big jump in the middle of the wall. And a lot of people fell at the jump. And I actually went first on that route. So I had no idea how hard it was, how people would do. Just went out there, did the jump, and then like fell a little bit afterwards. Didn't do so well on the next route, but just like doing the jump was enough to make the semi. So yeah, it was definitely super surprising, but I also had no expectations. I was like, oh, maybe I'm like pretty good at lead or like, but yeah, I had no idea about the international level. And then I think I really kind of took a beating at the next competitions that were a little bit more maybe traditional, like endurance space. There weren't as many like weird, tricky like jumps, because I've usually been pretty good at jumping, but like they were just more normal, hard World Cup routes. And I had just never climbed on routes that were that hard off the ground before and got pretty slammed, but it was fun. It was really fun though.
Oh, I bet. I mean, that sounds like a dream. But yeah, speaking of that transition, just going from like youth competitions and moving straight to the international circuit, This was also one of the Discord questions. So what was that transition like? And did you consider doing like collegiate competitions?
Yeah, I think it was really weird for me because it kind of was timed perfectly with COVID. So my first time ever qualifying for the Youth World Championships was ARCO in 2019 when I was, that was my second to last year of youth. So I was 17 years old. So I did that. That was my first Youth World. I did that, and that whole experience was super eye-opening for me to see that climbing was like a legit sport on the international level. I had gone to Innsbruck right beforehand to train, and I had never been like surrounded by so many youth competitors who were so strong, and just seeing like people from so many different countries who were all training all day long and everybody was working really hard and taking it seriously. It was like, whoa, like climbing is a real thing, and it's like all these other sports that I kind of grew up doing and was like, wow, there's like this like sport exists at a super high level. And I realized that for the first time at that Youth Worlds and was like, I want to do more international comps. I want to train as much as I can. And that was really, really motivating. And then going into 2020, like just before that, at the end of 2019, I kind of started to podium at the national cups. So things started to look pretty good for open nationals. So I was pretty excited going into open nationals. Surprised myself by making finals. Like that was always the goal, but I knew it would be quite hard and climbed really well throughout that whole comp. Finished the comp in second. So I was qualified to do the whole bouldering season, the whole bouldering World Cup season in 2020. And then like a month later after that, everything was shut down. And that was a weird thing for me because I was like, I had definitely been looking forward to doing Boulder World Cups, and also just, I think, didn't realize like how hard it was to accomplish what I accomplished that year. Like I kind of took it for granted, definitely a little bit, to think like, okay, like I podiumed at most of the national cups, and then I went to nationals and podiumed, and like it was pretty solid the whole way. And then we had COVID, and I trained a lot through COVID. And then coming out of COVID, it was 2021, which we were just talking about, where I didn't do well at all in the team selection. And so that was a weird transition of like, I kind of made the team straight away, and then I had a year and a half where I really didn't do super well at the important bouldering comps. Like I was always doing quite well at like different gym comps, things like Woman Up or Portland Boulder Rally and even the National Cups. But when it was coming down to the selection events, I just like things kind of went just a bit south and it hadn't worked out. So I had kind of 2 years of like training a lot and knowing that I was kind of capable of making the team because I was doing pretty well in all these other events, and having to be like pretty patient in terms of selection. But, you know, overall it did kind of come pretty quickly. And I think because even in youth, a lot of my success came later, it was a pretty natural transition between youth and open, because I only really started to compete quite well in youth and like in the kind of open gym comps when I was like 17, 18. So it kind of went pretty naturally from there. But yeah.
So I guess like, I don't really know how the collegiate circuit works. Like, how do you decide to do that instead, I guess?
Oh yeah. So collegiate, I think just if you're enrolled in college classes, you can compete on the collegiate circuit. And it works pretty similarly to youth in that you have like kind of divisional or regional level events that qualify you for nationals. And I actually did do collegiate 1 year in 2022. I competed in collegiate and made the world champs team. So they have a collegiate world championship, which I did in Innsbruck that summer. But I think it's a really good like a really, really good in between from youth to open for a lot of people. I think that like the transition into open can be quite harsh. Like you'll see the level of just like the boulders changes quite a bit. And I think as to be expected, but the collegiate is like kind of in between. And I think a little bit more casual in that, yes, like people train for it and they show up and they're ready to compete, but not everybody there is like super intense and has been training really hard and is trying to make, you know, the World Cup team or whatever, as opposed to sometimes the like team trials or the nationals can feel like pretty intense when you're kind of at that level where you know you could make the team, but you're not sure you'll be able to. And I think in those ways, those comps feel really intense, whereas in collegiate, I think there's a lot less of that pressure. And people are having a little more fun with it, I think.
And so going into your IFSC competition experience, so it sounds like expectations plays a big role into how well you perform. Is there anything else you feel like impacts your performance at those competitions, like crowd noise or what you're thinking on the wall?
Yeah, I think my biggest one, even like in training or in competitions, is just, I mean, it sounds pretty obvious, but just my energy. And I think you can kind of see it in my climbing when I'm a lot more like bouncy and jumpy and kind of taking more risks, which I think is tied to expectations as well. But having a much more like kind of powerful and dynamic style when I'm at all tired or my energy feels a little lower, it's really hard for me to kind of tap into that style. But I think that when I do feel really energized and excited to be competing, you can kind of tell in the way that I'm even warming up or like kind of jumping around just in the gym, that translates for me really well into like a kind of a more flowy and almost kind of careless in a way, like attitude on the mats, but more in a way that it's like helping me be relaxed and loose and like intense and kind of aggressive at the same time. I don't know. It's like, it's definitely a mindset that I like when I'm in it, I know I'm in it and I'm excited. And the rest of the time I kind of ride the line of struggling to like feel super energized and like flowy on the wall versus like sometimes just being tired.
Yeah. Do you feel like climbing in front of people affects that at all, better for better, for worse?
Yeah. I think it's pretty funny. Like in training and in the gym, I definitely like to not have so many people around. But when it comes to competing, I really, really like the crowd. I've always been like someone who kind of likes that type of pressure, and like having a crowd and having a lot of noise really helps me try harder. Like it can be hard to tap into that by myself for sure. So like when I'm climbing by myself, I listen to music and I think that helps a lot. But when I'm competing, the crowd definitely helps me. And I think it like almost takes my nerves away. Like it's a lot more nerve wracking when you're quiet, when it's just quiet and everybody's watching you versus when people are kind of cheering and screaming. So I definitely like it.
I guess it could be kind of unnerving if the crowd is quiet, because then it's like, oh, I must be doing something wrong or bad or embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's like, sometimes when the crowd's not reacting, you kind of start to think, oh, well, maybe everybody has done the same on this boulder, or maybe I'm not doing anything particularly good, like performance-wise. But when the crowd's going crazy, you're like, at the very least, they're like excited to be seeing me climb, like regardless of, you know, how I'm doing compared to everyone else. And I think that definitely fuels the excitement. I think a lot of competitors would agree, like, a loud crowd is really fun to climb in front of for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you remember the last time you would have felt insecure climbing in front of people, either in front of a crowd or in front of other competitors maybe?
Yeah, I think in training that happens like a decent amount actually. Being in Salt Lake, we have just so many strong climbers, and even in the training center, like every day there will be so many people who are strong, and like a lot of the time they're stronger than me. And sometimes when I'm feeling good, it's awesome and it's really nice because you feel like you're a part of it and you're strong and you're getting better. But on days where I maybe don't have so much energy, or I'm like being outclimbed by a lot of my peers, that can be really hard. And I definitely can like start to dig myself into a hole a little bit of just like, oh, I'm not good enough. Or like, I think I am good enough, and yet I just can't like seem to perform or show up the way I want to. So in general, I think that definitely happens to me the most in training and just climbing around people who are strong. I think it's like a blessing in that it definitely pushes you to be better and to learn from people, but it can be hard because there is kind of, for everyone, I think just that element of comparison is always there. Everyone's working hard and everyone's trying to be, you know, as good as they can, if not the best. And so it can be hard to be outclimbed consistently or to just feel like you're underperforming. I think that really quickly starts to spiral, and it can be hard to kind of keep a good mindset about it.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine. I had just like recently moved to San Diego, and Salt Lake was actually one of the places I was considering. And then I decided not to move there because I felt like the competition would be a little too strong and scary. And so I definitely get why you would feel that way there.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that's really cool about Salt Lake and the climbing community is there are people at every level who are psyched, and even kind of across levels. Like if you're psyched and you're excited to get better at climbing, there will be people behind you, whether they're stronger than you or not, who are going to be psyched to support you and who are going to see that and kind of bring you into their climbing circle. So in that way, I think it's really cool and it's really great. But it is kind of, I think, tricky when you have like that kind of competition specific mindset where you're like, these are the people that I'll compete against, you know, so that can be tricky for sure.
Yeah, definitely intimidating. But going into your 2022 and 2023 season, I think you had mentioned that you did pretty well in 2022. And then last year's season, you were a bit disappointed with your performance. So what kind of happened there? Please excuse this brief intermission, but I would just like to remind you that if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow and rate it on your preferred listening platform. If you're watching on YouTube, I would love to hear your discussion and thoughts in the comments below. Anything helps to push this podcast out to more people and get even more amazing guests on. Back to the show.
Yeah, 2022 was my first Bouldering World Cups ever. The first one being Meiringen in Switzerland. And I went into it definitely feeling good, but I had been feeling good for a long time on boulders and just kind of was excited to see how it would go, but really had no idea. And went out for the qualification. And I remember during the first, like right before I got on the first boulder, or actually even like a few moves into the first boulder, having the thought of like, I can try really hard to do this boulder, or I can kind of relax into the round and see how it goes. And I think in that moment, I kind of decided, no, like, I think I can kind of do this one. Like, let me try really hard to do it. And it actually ended up not being so bad. I flashed the first boulder. And I think in that moment, kind of, it sort of decided my attitude and my approach for that whole season. Like I would just go onto the mats with little expectation, and just I was really excited to be there for one, and also feeling pretty good and like confident on the coordination moves on the slabs, and it really paid off. I mean, surprised myself by just barely making the semis at that competition, and then in the semis I really was really like relaxed. I had no expectations at all. I was just excited to be there. I couldn't believe that I had even made the semi. And I climbed really, really like myself, like how I had been climbing in training, which I think is really hard to feel like you're kind of matching up with your expectation of yourself or your level in training. So I kind of was able to tap into that and was like more than anything, just having so much fun on the mats. And I think if you watch that comp, like you can kind of tell I'm just having a really good time and trying really hard and getting into the grit of it on like the third boulder, fourth boulder, and ended up being 10th at that competition. After which I like kind of came away and was like really pleasantly surprised, which hadn't happened very much in many competitions for me before. I think a lot of the times I had had a pretty high expectation off the bat and either met my expectation or was kind of below what I expected or underperformed. And this was like one of the first times where I felt like I had exceeded what I thought was possible. And so I took a lot of time to kind of write out like in my journal what I felt like were the kind of conditions that made it so I was able to climb that way and be so relaxed and like not nervous and just excited to be there. And I think a lot of it was like acknowledging that I was finally getting to live something that I had trained for so many years and never even knew if I would be able to do. Like I never knew if I would qualify for World Cups, but that was always a dream of mine to do bouldering World Cups. So kind of being extra like recognizant of that. And then also just kind of like keeping with that energy and really playing into my strength. So like taking a lot of risks on the wall and like accepting falls, and it just, that whole mindset like worked really well for me that season. And I ended up making all of the Boulder World Cup semifinals. And it definitely got harder like as the season went on. I think by the fourth, fifth comp, I started to kind of think, okay, like I kind of got a streak here. I don't want to break the streak. Like got harder and harder, but definitely until like was able to hold on until the very end of that season. So that was an awesome season. I couldn't have I couldn't have hoped for anything better, honestly. And I think not making a final was really great in that I felt like I had the consistency and all I needed to do was maybe improve the level. But if I could keep the consistency there, then I thought that I'd be able to make a final or two in the next season. And then the next year was much, much trickier for me. I mean, I think just training Boulder and lead together was really hard. And I also had a concussion in November and December that really, really affected my training and my energy and my mood going into the season. And I don't think I gave that enough like attention. But then the 23 season was quite hard. Definitely much worse than the season before. And I think it was a combination of like physical issues and then expectations from the season before. So it was a tricky one, but hopefully be better this year.
Yeah, I mean, a concussion is not like a light injury. So that makes a lot of sense. How did you get the concussion?
Yeah, I was just snowboarding in the park and fell back and hit my head. And thankfully I was wearing a helmet, but even then I think, yeah, I was just really kind of out of it for a few weeks after that. But then for months I felt like I couldn't quite place my feet how I wanted and was having a lot of trouble like feeling coordinated and was like kind of dizzy sometimes, really tired sometimes. And then the big one was kind of, I had like this chronic pain in my neck and like tightness in my neck that has kind of lasted since then. And it's definitely gotten better, but I think it kind of affected not only my ability to train, but how well I was recovering throughout that whole season.
How long do you feel like that affected you for? Or like, how long did you feel those side effects? Or are you still feeling them? Hopefully not.
I think the worst of it was definitely in February and March of last year. And then now I still have like this neck tightness and like pain sometimes, but I've definitely been finding more and more ways to manage it and talking to people to kind of help me through it. So I think right now it's definitely not affecting me as much, but I think beforehand, the combination of that, and then I think it probably affected my mood a decent amount as well. So that, and then also training lead so much, I think made it a lot harder to keep my power up for the bouldering season. And I definitely improved a little bit in lead, but I think regressed in boulders, didn't improve enough in lead to see really significant results there. So it was a weird combination of just kind of feeling like I was a little bit worse at both, and could almost kind of tell, I think, going into some of those comps, like I just didn't feel physically like where I wanted to be. And then on top of that, getting results that were disappointing, I think just kind of like kept that cycle going a little bit, and kind of kept me like mentally kind of down on myself, which made it really hard to have that really lighthearted and playful attitude that I'd had the season before.
Yeah, definitely snowballs for sure. When it comes to training through a concussion, how did you do that?
I think I did it really poorly. I really didn't give that like injury the attention that it needed. I think I've always been really good at training a lot and kind of glancing over, like writing over any little tweaks or whatever, for better or for worse. I train a lot, and I think that I've been able to handle like a large volume of training and then push through a lot of things that are uncomfortable or not going well. And that's one where I really didn't give that injury the attention that it needed. And so I really trained like straight through it. I took like 1 week pretty light, but then just got straight back to my normal volume of training. And I think that was a really bad idea. I like also didn't seek out the help that I should have for my neck kind of early on. And so I think that's kind of led to this more chronic problem that could have been solved earlier. So I definitely have a lot of things that I would have done differently about that. But now that I know a little more about it and I've talked to some more people about it, I'm finding ways to at least deal with kind of the lasting neck issues. But
right now, how do you work through the neck issues?
Yeah, so I think a big one has been taking just a lot of extra time to kind of nail in all those recovery measures that people always kind of tell you to do, but you're like, oh, I don't know, like it kind of gets pushed to the side a lot. So a lot of like rolling it out, and I get it massaged sometimes, and I have like an acupuncture mat and like different neck massagers and things like that. And I'm not sure if all of those help, but I think at least if I'm doing a lot of those things, at least a few of them will help kind of alleviate the tension there. I've got like some wave tool cups that I use too. And I've talked to like a few different PTs and massage therapists and gotten a few different opinions. So just like slowly working through it. And I think it's like a tightness that kind of keeps coming back. So just kind of trying to relieve that as best I can, but I'm definitely not like at the end of that whole ordeal yet. I'm still learning quite a bit about it and like working with people on it. So hopefully it won't be so much of an issue in the coming years, but we'll see.
I mean, at least massages are nice. I love a good massage. Have you ever gotten like onto a head spa?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, you should try to find one. It's so nice. If you like your like hair or like scalp being massaged, it's the best.
Oh yeah, I like those wire things that you just kind of,
oh, you would love it then,
put on your head.
Yeah, you would love it. And they'll do like neck and some shoulders as well, so I would highly recommend. It's like a big thing right now.
Nice. Well, that sounds fun. Yeah, I actually had one. I got a massage today, but it was quite painful. I was almost crying in the in the chair. So a little different, not as relaxing, but I think will probably help relax some of that tension. So we'll see.
It's good to get a mix. I'm a big massage fan, so
nice.
I know all about them. But yeah, speaking of getting injuries, do you climb outdoors much during the season, or I guess even outside of the season? I know a lot of people don't because of like risk of injuries and training.
I don't climb outside a lot, and I think that climbing outside would probably actually be good for my training, like kind of in the way that it's similar to a lot of board climbing. I think just like crimping more and having smaller holds and more technical feet would be great for my climbing, but I just love the gym. But it's not really for reasons of like avoiding injury or my skin or anything like that. I think that it could help me, but I really, really love just the ease of going to the gym and then also the volume that I'm able to get in. I mean, I love how it feels to move when I'm climbing, and when I go to the gym, I get to do a lot of that compared to when I climb outside. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt my skin as badly. Honestly, it's just more comfortable. And I mean, for comp climbing, I think it's great and it's perfectly fine. So I climb at the gym a whole lot. And it's more because I like it. And I think there will be times in my life where I'm going to get more excited about outdoor climbing. And even now, there are some places that I've climbed outside that I really loved. And as I've gotten stronger, I've definitely gotten more excited about trying climbs outside. But I think the style that I'm most excited about and the climbs that excite me the most, the types of moves that really get me psyched, aren't things that you find outside so much. So I'm enjoying the gym. I love the climbing gym.
No, that's awesome. I love that because I feel the same way and I usually give the same responses. I mean, everyone always asks me to go outside and I'm like, for what? Like, no.
Yeah. I love to spend time outside, but yeah. I love being outside. Like a lot of time my friends will go outdoor climbing and I'll go with them and just kind of hang out and watch and spend the day outside. And sometimes I'll go and climb moderates and things, but I haven't done much projecting or anything. Not since I was younger anyway. But I'll get there. But right now I like my gym routine.
Yeah, I think that's my plan too. I'll point people to you next time people give me shit for not going outside at all.
Yeah, the gym is fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to climb more.
I'm all about the efficiency. It's just It's so much better.
There you go.
Okay, last question about IFSC related stuff. You've done a few things in the commentary box the past year or so, I think. Do you like being in the commentary box, and what do you like bringing to the commentary?
Yeah, I definitely like doing it. I think it's really fun to kind of play off someone else's commentary. Like, I think it would be quite challenging to like lead the discussion, but it's definitely nice to kind of add in your little comments and things. I think that like the comp climbers know the most about the compy moves and kind of even the different competitors and their styles and what they like and don't like. And that makes it pretty fun to kind of throw in your little two cents about any one, you know, move or whatever it is. It's a little nerve-wracking for sure, and I don't really know how good I am at it, but I always like to kind of take up the opportunity when people ask me to join in. So hopefully I'll get to do a little more of it. I'd rather be in the round, though, if I get to choose. So.
Right. Yeah. For bouldering, at least.
For boulders. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, maybe you can do some lead ones. Yeah. Okay. Well, anything you don't like about being in the commentary box?
I think just when your like voice is kind of out there for everyone to hear, like people will definitely make little comments that are unnecessary. Like, I know the first time I interviewed someone, I said the word awesome a lot, and people were at me in the comments about it. And I was like, oh, I'm trying my best. But no, other than that, I kind of like it. And I think I'm pretty good at brushing over things like that. So we were like, she said awesome like four times. I'm like, yeah, sorry. Like, it's really not a big deal, but.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you're listening, you have nothing else to do except for listen very strictly about what people are saying. Through like editing the podcast, there are so many. I edit it out. I allow myself to edit it out. But when you're live, you don't have that option. So I would not do very well at commentating. So outside of IFSC climbing, I've watched you crush at a lot of competitions around the U.S. I think I saw you at like a boulder field competition. Plastic Classic was another one. Woman Up, obviously. I saw you recently did one at Mosaic Boulders in the Bay. I don't know if we just like happen to both go to the same competitions, but how do you choose which competitions you participate in locally? Like, is it just for prize money, or is there just like, how else do you choose?
I think the timing is a big one. Like, there's a competition this week that I won't go to because our team trials is coming up and I don't want it to interfere with that. But otherwise, I genuinely just, I really, really love that type of competition. I think it's just a little more laid back than USA climbing events, or just because of, like, you know, selection criteria, or IFSC events, because, you know, you traveled so far to get there and you've been training so much for those events that you really want to do well. These are a lot more laid back, and they're good ways to kind of check in with yourself throughout the season to see, like, what you want to work on. So I'll do like almost all of the ones that make any sense timing wise. And then in terms of prize money, like, I'd say in general, if I'll at least pay for my travel and my being there by being like top three or top four or making finals, then it's usually like a good bet. And I try to make it out for sure. So as long as it kind of pays for itself, then that's good enough for me, and I'm pretty psyched to be there. But I definitely do a lot of those and have a good streak with those types of comps for the moment. So I'll keep at it. They're like some of my favorite events to compete in.
So for someone like me who wants to start competing in open at these like local competitions, what do you feel like are some strategies to have a better chance at doing well? I would love to make a finals one day, but if it's always the same six people who I always see at finals, it's not happening.
Yeah. I think the first like best thing that you can do for yourself if you want to get better at competing is to compete. And so like every opportunity that you have to go to competitions, whether they're like kind of little small bouldering league type things, or if they're bigger competitions, is to just like show up and do them and be really open-minded about it. Like, I think it's important to be pretty realistic, and, you know, maybe you aren't there to make finals, and that's okay. You can be there to do other things, like learn, like get used to the style, or get used to the pressure of having limited attempts, or just having like so many strong people around you and climbing around people who are maybe stronger than you. So I think competing a lot is the first best thing that you can do if you want to compete. And then the second thing that I would say is really important and that a lot of people kind of dismiss is like outside of the physical training that you're doing, just whether you're hangboarding or board climbing or doing weight training, is when you're climbing is to be pretty intentional with what you're doing and be pretty like, let yourself get pretty uncomfortable, kind of push past just like your normal casual session with friends. You know, I think kind of what sets a lot of comp climbers apart from just other people who are climbing in the gym and climbing recreationally is not necessarily the amount of time spent in the gym, but the amount of like intention behind what we're doing and kind of pressure and expectation that you put on yourself when you're in the gym. Like when I go into the gym, I have a certain expectation of myself that I'm going to take the boulders seriously, that I'm going to take my session seriously, that I'm not going to just get on the wall randomly and just not put focus behind every attempt. I think that kind of thoughtfulness goes a really long way, and it's something that doesn't take more time than like what people are already doing, but just like when every single time I step on the wall to be like, I'm getting on the wall right now for this purpose, like I'm gonna do this with this handhold, or I'm gonna do this with this foot, and not just like repeating the same thing and not trying to learn from your boulders. I think that's like really the big one, kind of that level of focus. And it's hard to bring that every time, but the more that you can show up that way to the gym, the more you'll improve faster. And I think one way to force that is to kind of run like little mock comps for yourself or different challenges where like on the, maybe your gym has just set like 10 new boulders and you're going to tell yourself, okay, I have one try to do them all. And if I fall, like I don't get to try them again until next session. I think kind of having that pressure a little bit more intensity and kind of forcing yourself into that mindset of like this attempt matters is good for competition.
I'll try that out. Yeah. And I think solo sessions have been really good for having that intentionality, because otherwise you're like getting in a group with like other people and then you're like thinking about talking to other people and it just doesn't work as well.
Yeah, I think climbing by yourself is really good for getting in, like being really easily getting or more easily getting into the mindset that you want to be in. Other people can definitely distract from that, but there's also so much benefit in climbing from people because you'll notice they do moves differently, or you'll be like, I never thought of doing that move like that, and it looks so much easier and obvious now that I see this person do it like that. So there's definitely like a lot of benefit to that as well. So I think it's good to have a balance.
Yeah, definitely experienced both. For me, starting to compete in open, the scariest thing would be climbing around a lot of other strong climbers. So if you ever see me at one of those, don't look at me. Just don't look.
Yeah, I think a big one to tell yourself if you're nervous about the people around you is that they really don't care about your climbing nearly as much as you do. And that kind of goes for a lot of things in life and when we're feeling, I guess, self-conscious about things. But at the gym, like if I'm competing and you're like not doing the boulder that I just did, I'm not going to think, oh, like she's bad at climbing. You know, I'm like, okay, like she's trying this boulder. It's when you kind of start to like out climb people that they'll be like, who is that? Like, who's that girl who just did like number 7? And then people start to be like, who is that? They're so strong. But when I think in general, like if people show up and are trying hard, the level really doesn't matter. I think it definitely matters the most to you. I think anytime you show up and do anything that you've put work into, like it matters more to you than it does to anyone else there. So the more you can like get out of your head about other people watching you, the better, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Well put. So yeah, you also run some clinics, and I saw that you're doing coaching through Salt Lake Bouldering Project. When did you start getting involved with those things, and is that something you're hoping to move towards in the future?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I kind of did a lot of my coaching myself. I was on a team, but I wrote all my own training plans and did all my own exercises and everything. And so I think I've kind of been pretty well versed in like climbing training for quite a long time. And when I was younger, I was the assistant coach on the Bridges team for a little bit. And then I did some clinics there as well. And then after COVID, I did some clinics at Woman Up and at the Boulder Project. And I think now they've transitioned from being less like about physical exercises and more like technique based, which I've really enjoyed. And I think my climbing has changed in that way quite a bit in the past few years. So like focusing a lot on movement and trying to teach people like different ways to kind of be intentional about how they move when they're climbing, and hopefully being able to learn some of that, like ways to learn some of that on your own. And that's been really fun for me. I definitely enjoy it because a lot of the time it's cool to see people progress so fast. Like you'll have people not being able to do a move and then really work through positions, and all of a sudden they're doing a move that they've never done before or that was harder than they thought they could do. And so that's really rewarding and cool to see. And in general, I think has gone pretty well. So I'm definitely really excited about teaching more clinics and hopefully coaching more. I don't really see myself coaching full time ever. I think I like having it be kind of like this special thing that I do from time to time. It makes it more exciting, and I think I'm able to dedicate a lot more attention to the people I'm working with than if I'm doing that regularly. And I can even tell, like, if I've been doing it all day, that by the end I'm definitely less focused and probably not as helpful. So I think having it be something that I just do from time to time and can put a lot of energy into then is really nice. So I do really enjoy it and hope I'll get to do a little more of it for sure.
If you're not doing it full time, after competitions are done and, well, I don't want to say like age out, I guess, well, retire, that's the word. When you retire from competitions, coaching's like not something that you would want to do full time still?
No, I don't think so. I think a big thing for me has been to have balance in what I'm doing. And I've noticed that seasons or even months of my life where I only climb, I tend to get worse at climbing, or I at least get a lot more in my head about it. And so for me, I think having maybe a job outside of climbing or something that I'm working on, like a personal project that has little or nothing to do with climbing, is important, just because if you're only climbing and trying to be strong, the days where you show up and it doesn't go your way, it can be really hard to deal with. And even like when you're having a month that doesn't go well, like this is all I'm working on and it's not going well, like that can be really challenging to deal with. So for me, school was that thing for a long time. And right now I've graduated from the U with a bachelor's, and I'm hoping to do either some more school or start working part-time to get some experience kind of in another field. What that is exactly, I don't really know yet. And that's definitely something that I'm working on quite a bit, just personally, is trying to see what other things I can be fulfilled from outside of climbing. So I think it's definitely important for me that I have that distinction. And I think staying in coaching for me will be too close to like climbing full time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think one of the difficult parts of adulthood is the journey of figuring out how you're going to sustain yourself. So good luck with that. I'm also trying to figure that out. But yeah, good luck to you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, working on it.
And what was your degree in?
In economics.
Well, that could be applied to everything. So
yeah, that was kind of the goal, but maybe to a fault, it's a little too broad for me. I've been struggling to find some direction in like a professional field outside of climbing, but I'll get there.
Yeah, now you have like too many choices, I think, is the issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, so similarly, outside of climbing, you did a lot of other sports that you mentioned earlier. What are the things you've learned from those other sports that you feel like you uniquely could apply to climbing?
Yeah, I think risk and like grit, or try, like being able to try hard, are things that I kind of learned before I started climbing and kind of applied pretty well to climbing. I think like I used to go to skateboard camp and skateboard a little bit and got banged up like many, many times. And then from like swim practice and running, it's just like so purely effort based, like past a certain point, you know, it's just like, how hard can you push yourself? And I think going into climbing, like very early on, I had that kind of approach of just like, the harder I try, the better I'll get. And so I would do a lot of workouts that were pretty heinous and just try really, really hard, which I think really like made me into the climber I am now, but also led to like periods where I was maybe overtraining and kind of doing like training was detrimental to my performance. But overall, I think it created kind of a standard that I hold myself to in training that is pretty beneficial and kind of has made it so that like always feel the need to push myself, which when I do push myself, it's great. But then when I don't, or I kind of fail to do that, it can be hard because I feel like I've kind of failed myself and my training. But I've definitely learned, yeah, to push myself and to try, just try hard, like to suffer in training from a young age. And then, yeah, I think getting banged up from skateboarding and kind of biking and those types of sports when I was younger made me really willing to like do dynos and take huge falls. And I was like, I now had crash pads under me all of a sudden. So I was like, oh, I could do whatever I want over here. And now, ever since my concussion, I've been a lot more careful and notice weird falls. But I think just like being able to do kind of jumps and just being really bold in my moves, I think helped a lot. Like I never had to kind of transition into having a jumpier style. I kind of was immediately pretty aggressive in my climbing off the bat. Like, I just remember in the gym, like we would be trying like huge jumps with just massive swings. And like we had a slack line and I would try to backflip off the slack line and just like land all sorts of weird ways on the mats and stuff. And so I think that kind of playfulness and also just like willingness to take some risks definitely has translated pretty well into my climbing, but maybe to a fault. Like maybe I wouldn't have had my concussion and maybe I wouldn't have this like neck right. injury either. So
did you ever do like parkour or anything like that?
No, not really.
That's a popular one, but
yeah, I just did so much like I was the kid at recess who would be like trying to get everybody to like race me on the track or play basketball or like play tag or whatever it was. I was just always running around and my family was really active growing up. So I think I just had a really good base of like athleticism and ball sports and running, jumping. And I think that just like translated really well into my climbing style.
Yeah, that's awesome. Always had like a competitive drive, I guess.
For sure, yeah. I think even like as a first or second grader, I was always like, I want to be an athlete. Like when I grow up, I want to be an athlete. And I never even knew what sport until I was maybe 13, 14 and started climbing a lot. But even well before then, I was really, really drawn to and like driven by competition and sports.
Do you feel like you've fulfilled that part of your childhood dream? Or is there still much more you want to do?
Yeah, I think I've definitely, like, in some ways exceeded what I hoped for in the more, like, kind of realistic version of my, like, teenage self, at least. I always kind of wanted to do World Cups and just climb for a few years, and I like never knew if that would be a possibility. But in a lot of ways, I haven't kind of accomplished what I've wanted to do at all. Like when I was younger than that, I wanted to go to the Olympics and win something. And I like I said, I didn't even know what sport, but I was like, I want to be Olympic champion or world champion or some like huge, huge athlete, which in that way, I definitely haven't accomplished that. And even within climbing, like I think my like hopes and dreams just kind of keep building the more I'm able to kind of start getting a little taste of it. So definitely far from satisfied.
Okay, well, good luck. I think we'll be really excited to see where you go with that.
Thank you.
Okay, so those were all of my questions. So we can move into a few of the Discord questions that we got. The first one kind of ties into what you were talking about earlier with like being in the Salt Lake Training Center. So this question is benefits versus downsides of competing for one of the biggest and most competitive teams on the circuit.
I think benefits is definitely just the amount of people to kind of look up to and train with. Like even just in Salt Lake, there are so many people who are so strong across every style of climbing. And just having the training center, it's like an incredible resource. And working with Josh Larson, our head coach, is like, it's, definitely changed my climbing career for the better and made me a much, much better comp climber than I like ever really imagined when I was younger. So like the caliber of setting and training in that space is really, really good. And like world class for sure. But I think with that comes like with having so many people who are capable of making team or capable of competing in World Cups, it's really stressful and hard to have to qualify for the team again every year. There's a few athletes who do well enough on the World Cup circuit to be like qualified for the next year, but I think that's pretty rare. And so, I mean, for myself, it's been like 3 years of, I don't know if I'll make the team next year, but like I want to train for World Cups and kind of build on what I did last year in World Cups, but maybe I won't even get to do them. And I think having so many strong people is hard in that way, for sure.
Yeah. And so I guess that affects your training because you, I guess ideally you would be peaking for a World Cup and now you have to also take into account peaking for team trials and all the other competitions.
And I think just mentally it's challenging to kind of almost figure out how to like where you fit into the climbing world. At least for myself, I kind of, it can be challenging to think, well, if I'm not selected for any World Cups, then like, am I really like a pro comp climber? Or like, if I have a few seasons where I'm on the circuit and I'm doing well, then okay, that's great. But then if there's a year where I'm not, then do I like have to re-question like everything I've been doing and kind of climb out? Do I have to climb outside now, even though I'm not really super psyched on climbing outside right now? It's kind of tricky. Like, I think for me, it's like I want to compete and World Cups are like the highest level of competition right now for climbing, apart from maybe the Olympics. And so it's like I want to do those. But if I don't get to do those, then it can be, I think, challenging to kind of stay confident and continue to kind of believe in the year after that and the year after that. So I think for me, that's been the trickiest thing is the selection process.
Yeah, the competition here is not easy, so that makes it rough. I think probably a similar issue in Japan with all the strong competition there.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the Japanese have a very similar situation, and honestly, the French as well. Like, at least from what I've seen, their like field of skilled climbers and people who probably could be pretty successful on the World Cup circuit is pretty deep, and we only really get to see like the very top of that.
Yeah, that's stressful. Hopefully a little bit less stressful question. I think this was referring to a video that you did with La Sportiva. Someone asked, do you have some fun or unhinged stories about living in the powerhouse with Cece and Quinn?
I mean, we had so much fun living in that house, and I don't actually live with them anymore, but they're just a block away, so they come over all the time. They'll be over for dinner, I think, tonight. But we did all sorts of things. Like, a big thing, like most nights around like probably 3 nights a week at least, it would get to be like 11 p.m. and we'd be like, We need to go to the grocery store right now. And we would all go to the grocery store and just like to like Walmart and just run around the grocery store and just like pick up random things. And we'd just like just basically go on a field trip to the store. We would always be doing that. One time I asked Cece to bring me a zucchini for dinner because I was cooking, and she came home with a cucumber. And that was a pretty classic Cece moment right there. We painted our other roommates. She has a white minivan, and we painted her rims hot pink. We were just always doing silly stuff. It was a fun time.
If you're comfortable answering, like, where are you living now?
Yeah, I live like just a little bit south of downtown Salt Lake now, and I live with Taya, who I lived with in that other house with Cece and Quinn also. So we're all still real close, and they're just down the block.
Oh, that's so convenient. It's hard when people live far away.
Yeah. No, it's been great.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone dreams of. I think another thing that came from that video, what do you like so much about French rap?
Well, I think in general, I like listening to hip hop when I'm training. Not always, but sometimes, just because it can be pretty aggressive and it'll help me like try a little harder and get really into it and really focused. And I like listening to French and kind of hearing French. I think I especially like grew up listening to French all the time at home. And now that I live in Salt Lake, I don't get immersed into that as much. So I definitely like to listen to it. So I listen to some rap in French, but I also like, I don't know, I like watching French movies and things. And I think there's an element of it that just feels really tied to like my family and my like memories when I was younger of like spending summers there, and all like a lot of good times are associated with like hearing French. So I definitely like to listen to it as much as I can.
Any like recommendations for songs that you like listening to when you're training?
When I'm running, I usually listen to Eminem or something like really intense.
Okay, well, that's not French, but okay.
No. Oh, in French? I have a really random playlist.
No, like, favorite go-to that's, like, on repeat?
Like, La Puissance is pretty classic for just, like, a hype, like, get-after-it type of song. But no, not too many on repeat right now. I've been listening to a lot of, like, reggaeton when I train, like Spanish music. So that's been pretty fun. That's been my go-to lately.
Anything there you want to recommend?
It's just pretty basic, like Bad Bunny and Daddy Yankee and that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to find the one that you just mentioned and I'll link it in the description. Nice. For people to listen to. I'll take a listen to it as well. I feel like, yeah French hip hop hits different.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it just sounds good. I don't know if I have a way better reason than that, but I like how it sounds.
No, that's totally fair. Okay, last question from the Discord. How does training with teammates and friends impact you, attitude, motivation, enjoyment-wise?
I think, like, when I have a really fun session with my friends, that's like, it really takes me back to the root of why I like climbing. Like a lot of the times our sessions will be really playful and we'll kind of make up moves, and it really becomes not about like doing a boulder, but about how the move looks, or, you know, like a different makeup that we made. And like those kinds of sessions really are like the root. Yeah. Like the root of why I like climbing. It's just so fun. And it's just like pure enjoyment. And then in general, like in normal sessions, I think having people around, not only are like all the people here really supportive and generally like super psyched for you, as long as you're pushing yourself and, you know, you're trying hard and you have a good attitude, but just seeing so many people who are strong and being able to bounce ideas off each other for moves and get recommendations is super helpful. Like, a lot of us have a pretty similar level, and so we'll outclimb each other on some styles, and other people will outclimb us on other boulders. And having that really like judgment-free dialogue of just like, hey, how'd you do this? Like, can you help me through this move? And having people work through moves with you that way is not only really helpful, but it's also really fun, and it's social, and it just like makes you feel pretty supported. So I definitely like having people around for that. But definitely the solo session, like kind of by yourself, definitely has its special place in my heart for me as well. I think that's the time when I can climb with like the least amount of insecurity or like worries about how I look or what, like how I look on the wall or what other people are thinking of my climbing. Like, I'll definitely like make more try hard noises and kind of get like let myself get a little more emotional when I'm climbing by myself. So I think it's good to have a balance of both.
Awesome. Yeah, that's definitely relatable. But okay, I think that's a good place to end it. That's all the questions I had, as well as the Discord. Yeah, thanks for joining me. Anything that you want to shout out or let people know where they can find you?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun. If you guys want to follow along with like some of the moves I'm doing or just my comp journey and my climbing, you can definitely follow me on Instagram. I try to kind of post a lot of some more serious things, but then a lot of like day-to-day shenanigans on there as well. And then like super thankful to Prana and La Sportiva, and Kinetic and Friction Labs for helping me out, because it wouldn't be possible to like train how I do or go to all these competitions without them. So really, really appreciate that.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Thank you again. Awesome to chat. Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Otherwise, you are a super fake climber. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, I'd appreciate if you rate it 5 stars, and you can continue the discussion on the free competition climbing Discord linked in the description. Thanks again for listening.